Good morning and welcome. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. And one of our very, very familiar friends, someone you enjoy spending, well, I guess really if they wanted to, Mark, they could spend every day with you. Your voice is heard regularly here on KFUO, Moments of Assurance, and the weekend edition of that. Pastor Mark Hawkins has joined us.
Good to be with you, Roland. Enjoy your show here.
Well, thank
program.
You. Thank
and,
you. Thank you.
And a privilege to be able to share on this section of Scripture of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, second letter.
Well, you are so good. Moments of Assurance is so, so good as a program to do good Lutheran application of the Scriptures that you bring in. And
well,
just a remarkable job that you do.
All it is, well, thank you, but basically all it is common sense theology practically applied just from life, my life, and sharing with the people and just saying, here's how I feel about it. Let me know. If you don't feel the same way, I'd be welcome to hear that. But just trying to help people, give them the hope that they need, the sure hope. See, in Jesus Christ, there are no partial
hopes. But Mark, the world is such a perfect place. Who needs hope?
It's not perfect. Perfect?
We were just talking about the headlines as we were
indeed.
Waiting for the program to begin, and we must marvel at the fact that the world is not a perfect place.
No,
some of us
I've been disillusioned in the fact that 3 or 4 months ago, I was told, at least on the news, that gas prices were on their way down. Now, of course, I'm told that the price of crude oil is on its way back up, and that will be reflected in the pump.
That was then, this is now.
Yeah, and for a guy that does, I don't know how much driving you do. I do hundreds of miles every week, so it makes a big difference to me, what the price of gas is, I can assure you.
Did you see what was in the parking lot this morning?
It was your 1966 VW?
73.
I'm sorry.
My 73 Super Beetle. I'm driving that again because it actually
gets
better mileage. Gets better gas mileage.
That's one sharp-looking vehicle.
Than my 2007 VW Beetle does, but that's another story for a different day. Yeah. So how have you been? All is well, I take?
All is well, health-wise, and just percolating right along through the balance of the summer, what's left of it. And looking forward to some fall activities and special things going on. A couple things here at KFUO and, the dinner that we're having as well. And
dinner? We're having dinner?
Yes, in October.
Tell me more.
Yeah, well, I don't remember the name of what it's called. It's
the Founders Club.
Founders Day dinner. If anybody wants more information, they can call Joni.
Joni, yeah.
Yeah, 800-844-0524.
And while we're doing, just a quick round of plugs here before we pray and get about our business, KFUO Sundays, I don't know that we really promote this enough for you, Mark, that you will actually go to a congregation if invited.
Yes.
And you will preach and you will do a Bible study and at the same time talk a little bit about the mission and the work of KFUO Radio.
Yeah, I just was recently at St. Paul, Columbia, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoyed my time there. Came in, did the worship service. The sermon was based around a text that Romans 1:16 is the text I used there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And the fact that KFUO is worldwide KFUO. So I talked about it and,
Of course, we stretch all the way to Columbia.
That's right. Worldwide, indeed, yes. The world goes beyond Columbia, but sometimes it's such a beautiful place over there, you wouldn't mind if it didn't,
And
it's very nice.
If this is something that interests you, if you'd like to give your pastor the weekend off, or maybe if you're just tired of listening to him, you want to change.
I'm actually coming to your church, Ascension, the end of October. Same day as the Founders Day dinner. I think it's October. I don't have my calendar here. 21st, 22nd, something like that. So we'll do all three services there at Ascension and Bible class. One of the Bible classes. They have several. But at one of them, I'll make a presentation for KFUO Radio. And I also have a little fun there, a little Bible study, and tell some stories. And we always enjoy it. And so anybody that does want, thanks for the plug there, Roland.
Sure,
KFUO Sunday, just call Joni. Joni
is 505-7800. Jenny will pick up the phone and direct you to whom you need to speak.
There you go. Thanks so much.
All right, let's begin with prayer, Pastor, and then we'll get right. Our assignment today, I hope you're aware of this, 2 Corinthians. You know we're in 2 Corinthians, right?
Well, no, I was in 1 Corinthians.
You were?
No, I know it's
chapter 5, only 10 verses today. Only
that's
10.
Right.
So this is why we're filling. How could you possibly spend an hour talking about 10 verses?
Oh, goodness sakes, verses. I don't know. We could talk an hour about one or two of those verses.
We almost did yesterday.
Yes. So, good job, by the way. And let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, this is a transient place here. And as a spiritual song from years ago has said, we're just a passing through. We're just a passing through. As we do pass through this life, gracious God, prepare us and keep us close to you by means of the word that draws us in. Remembering the passage in James where it says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Indeed, we want to be close to you because at any moment you may return, and at any moment you may call us to our heavenly abode. It won't be a tent. It will be a permanent dwelling. I'm looking forward, gracious Lord, to that permanent dwelling. May each listener be benefited by this text as they consider their own permanent dwellings that they will receive someday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO, at KFUO.org. As I mentioned, our assignment, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 10. I'm using the New International, I'm sorry, not that. I'm using the English Standard Version.
That's what I have.
No,
same version.
The reason I slipped is this morning when I first printed off my oversized text, so yes. It's easier to see. My first printing was of an NIV version.
Well, I have trifocals, and I'm getting to the point now where I have to bend my glasses up in order to magnify it even more. So I guess I should go and have my eyes examined and get even stronger lenses.
Well, considering
as you get
your
older
vocation, I would encourage that strongly.
Oh no, I can see fine for driving.
Okay.
That's no problem.
Right.
We get tested all the time.
Yeah,
so we have to pass all kinds
of tests. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians in the English Standard Version. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, let's just focus on the first verse there for a few moments. Paul seems to be stuck on forever. Forever, forever, forever. But forever, when is forever ever going to come?
You know what? Jesus said, he who has the Son has the life. You've got it now. Forever's here.
It is?
Yeah. The full benefits
are. Well, then what are we waiting for?
Well, we're waiting for the full benefit of that life to come. You already have. You've already crossed. See, in Jesus Christ, through your baptism, you've already crossed over from death to life. That's already taken place. You, like transfer of membership?
Oh, yeah.
Transfer. Your transfer has gone through from eternal death to eternal life. That transfer is complete at the mercy seat of Jesus Christ. So it's done through the Son of God. So the only problem is, people wonder, okay, it's been 2,000 years. Where's Jesus?
Yeah, good question.
Even the Apostle Paul, there are some who speculated that he expected the Lord to come while he was still living. And, well, I don't know, he may have, but later writings of Paul indicate that, he was going to be patient. His body did groan, during this time, but he was going to be patient until the Lord did return or until he called himself home, Either way, you win.
Something else that's very repetitive for 2 Corinthians is forever and temporary, forever and temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The forever,
yeah.
Here now, yet to come. Yeah. But this is absolutely a temporary life in which we live?
It is. It's like a mist. In the book of James, it talks about a vapor. I took my car in, my older Chrysler. I have two Chryslers, and I took my older Chrysler in. They said, the problem is a vapor leak. And, of course, it wasn't. The problem was much more serious than that, unfortunately. But good try, guys. Nice try. Vapors, you can't see vapor. Well, it's just, and there was a leak in the car. The thing about a vapor is it's only temporary. See, it's only for the moment. You can get the leak fixed in the car. And if there is a vapor or a fog out there in the morning when you first get up and you shave and take a shower and get ready for breakfast, by the time you look out the window again, it's gone. That's how brief life can be on this earth.
One of my favorite sayings, if you want to look really thin, stand in a room full of fat people.
Okay.
And it's all about contrast.
Right.
So as Paul's talking about these contrasts, he's talking about forever and he's talking about temporary.
That helps.
The emphasis of,
yes,
over and over and over again, that
it helps you. the contrast that you mentioned helps you because you're comparing, you know, oh, I can't hardly take this anymore. And people, there are some people really suffering with physical problems. They're in nursing homes and care, and they're in a lot of pain. And the Lord, believe me, He will provide relief for them eventually, either through healing or through healing them by taking them to heaven. There is relief. So the contrast is, hey, this is just for the moment. Eternity, like you mentioned on the Bible study yesterday, I happened to catch some of it. The eternal weight of glory, that you experience it all at once. How exciting. You get to experience the whole nine yards at one time when you get into those heavenly mansions that the Lord is preparing. And the difficulties and problems now are just moment by moment by moment. It's a big difference.
So what do we know about the world to come, the life to come? Jesus doesn't seem to spend a whole lot of time giving us descriptors of what this will be like.
Well,
you know, heaven is like, but not really. You know.
We don't know an awful lot. Of course, you can look in the apocalyptic literature, and you're aware of that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, gives you some imagery there in chapter 4 about the beauties of eternity. But that's just to give you to whet your appetite, sort of like an hors d'oeuvre. Like you're invited to a meal, and you start with hors d'oeuvres, and you think to yourself, man, if the meal is anything like this hors d'oeuvre, this is really going to be something.
Hmm.
You attend Holy Communion at your parish, at your church. That is sort of like an hors d'oeuvre of eternity, and it's a pretty wonderful experience being gathered together among God's people and to receive the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in with and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins, and then to be able to come away from the table with that relief, you know, that tremendous relief. Well, that's an hors d'oeuvre. You won't need that in heaven. You won't need to be forgiven anymore. You've already been forgiven. You will be able to experience the bliss. We know that there's bliss. We know that you're going to be able to view Jesus Christ Himself. For one thing, at the judgment, He'll be seated on the judgment seat, and you will be facing Him. All the people, all the throngs of people will be facing Him at the judgment seat. And I'm going to say something that's pretty bold. And here it is. And this is what I believe from Scripture. Judgment Day for the Christian is something not to be dreaded. I read through before, while I was preparing for this, I read through a couple other commentaries that were just Christian commentaries and not necessarily Lutheran. I have a Lutheran commentary, of course, as well. And those other commentaries were saying, you know, basically, this is something to be dreaded. You know, you're going to have to give an account of every idle word, and you're going to have to do this and that and so forth. We're going to find out in verse 10 when we get there a little bit more about the judgment. But it's something to be joyfully anticipated because in Jesus Christ, you've already been judged. You're already on the right, the sheep and the goat thing. You're already a sheep, you know. You're on the right. You're in with Christ, and that's guaranteed. So that's not going to change.
So that goes to perspective, the distinction that you're making here.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I believe that God expects something in return from me for the salvation that I'm given as a free gift, then the end of the world is a terrifying thing because I have to wait until the end of the tape to find out if I've done enough. Right?
There isn't going to be a balancing out between my good works and, you know, just to see, to make sure that I do enough good works to balance the scales upward so that I'd be accepted. You know,
that's karma,
not gonna,
isn't it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's not going to happen. Not going to be that way. The good works follow faith. It's kind of like a package deal. Roland is Roland. You are who you are in Jesus Christ. And, you know, on Judgment Day, you're going to be among the sheep, and everybody's going to be able to see the result, your works, the result of the faith that God has produced in you, and it's going to be beautiful. The works, the fruits of the Spirit that the Lord has proved, and it's going to show. God is saying, look, I'm a just God. This is Roland. This is what he did. This shows that he had faith. The non-believer did not have faith, and their non-works testify and damn them to hell. And it, because of non-faith. And so there's an urgency to the message that this is why KFUO is called the messenger of good news, because the good news is you can get out of that. You don't have to be among the goats. I've never liked goats anyway. And so you want to be on the right side in more ways than one.
For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. Now, what verse 3, what that took my mind to was the wedding garments. Mm-hmm. About not, mm-hmm. not being properly clothed.
Right.
Is there a relation there?
Yes, there is. And there's different, what I discovered is that in ancient times such as this, and in Paul's day, they used different imagery to convey the same thought. And so that's what we're having here, where, you know, Paul is using a couple of different imagery forms to get across the same thought. You couldn't get into the wedding celebration without the wedding garment. You've got to have the wedding garment, and God puts it on you. You don't even put it on yourself. You don't do anything regarding that. God is the one who places his garment of righteousness upon you that makes you acceptable to him on Judgment Day.
For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is this is where Paul gets a little bit difficult. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Okay, we've got tents and groaning and burden and clothing and unclothing and swallowed and
Well, okay,
that's
but
just,
let's,
and that's just what
you know.
Again, I appreciate Paul, but I appreciate Peter more. Yeah, he's right, but I have no idea what he's saying.
Well, this whole thing about being burdened, there are some, and some commentators have indicated, yeah, life is tough. It's rough on this side of eternity. I'm burdened down with life. And in fact, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of my life. I'm tired of it.
I've had those moments.
And,
yeah.
You know, I want God to just take me to heaven right now. Let's get this thing done. You've heard that expression.
I think if we're all honest, we've had moments like that.
Yeah. And well, sure, I've had. No, don't
sure.
think I've had those moments, I guarantee you. And But I don't have them for long because right back into the Word of God, I think, oh, you fool. You know, what are you saying, you know, with these beautiful gospel promises and the Lord's presence there and so forth to help you? Because problem is, I forget that, too. I'm human. I forget it, and I despair. And you can get out of despair. You don't have to groan. Paul is talking about a groaning in that he's anticipating heaven. He's looking forward to being there. And, oh, you know, I it's not the trial so much as the great desire to depart, like the thief on the, you know, well, Paul said, I desire to depart and be with Christ. Thief on the cross, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that says to me, you know, this whole business of soul sleep, I don't believe that the soul does sleep, or that it's not aware of anything. Blessed are they who die in the Lord from henceforth. That they may rest from their labors. Blessed. They're in a state of blessedness. And how can they be unless they're aware of something? You know, obviously, to me, you are aware of something, and there would have been no point for Jesus to tell the thief on the cross, I say unto you, today you'll be with me. Well, so what? He's not going to know anything. What would be the point in even telling him that? See, so I believe there is some, at least some awareness of what's going on. You're with the Lord. And so the groaning is not so much. Look at Paul. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was beaten. He was insulted. He, you know, he had physical problems. He had the thorn in the flesh. He had all these things going on. And I'm sure, being human, that was, you know, if he would have been honest, he would say that was part of the groaning. But the sense here of the groaning is more, I just want to be with the Lord face to face. That's what I want. I don't know for sure what heaven is going to be like, but I know I'm going to be seeing him face to face. I know it's going to be a perfect world. I know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be similar to the Garden of Eden. It's going to be, you know, perfect in every way. And you're going to be able to recognize your loved ones in eternity. You're going to be able to function in some way. And beyond that, we don't know an awful lot about what heaven exactly is going to be like, except you don't have to worry anymore about dying.
But with this life, some of it is good, some of it is not so good, and some of
smorgasbord.
Yeah, but some of it is, well, if ever, fair, but it's mostly not fair. And Paul essentially is saying, A, it's temporary, and B, well, get over it.
Yeah, it's only for the moments, no matter how tough things are. Mm-hmm. The old expression from the 1970s, and if you're a baby boomer. No, you're not. Are
oh,
you a
yeah.
baby boomer?
Oh,
you
yeah.
are?
1961,
but you're
me.
On the young side
so
of the
all
baby
my
boomer.
Fault.
No,
yeah.
I got to blame somebody.
Sure.
But I'm on the older side of the baby boomer. But the old expression, hang in there, still applies. You know, just hang in there. I can't tell you how many people have told me that during difficult times I've been through. Hang in there.
You didn't own one of those goofy posters with the kitten hanging off the branch, did you?
No. But I did think about that.
I still remember that as a
kid.
That was one of those that was, you know, back in the early 70s that was going around.
It was the early 1970s, I believe, when that was kind of a popular thing. I'm surprised somebody didn't write a song and produce a song with that title.
I'm sure they did.
We're just not aware of it, probably.
Okay, the idea that this life is all there is seems to be gaining a lot of popularity these days.
Well, of course. That's because if this is all there is, I can do whatever I want.
Really?
I can go, I can go and sin. I can go
Have your wallet?
You know, multiple wives.
No,
I can,
not.
You know, commit adultery. I can do all these different things because there is no God, see?
Yeah.
And then I don't have to worry about an afterlife. You know what? If I were that person, I wouldn't want to take that chance because what if there is? You know what I'm saying? Of course, we know there is, but my point is just from somebody out there in society saying these things to himself or to herself. You know, just if you use your reason, even if you just use your just try to reason it out. Why take a chance? You know, and say, well, if there is, then I'm in trouble. So, you know.
Well, take a look then at verse 5, because this thing that you talk about, I guess really the, if you want to talk about eras of music or genres of music, or this whole grunge thing that came out of the 1990s was about sort of abject despair and pointlessness and directionlessness, and it was just, they call it the slacker generation.
Waterless
kind of
clouds.
But look at verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Okay, prepared us for what? That to me implies that there is a point to all this.
Yeah, well, he prepares us by the gospel message. He gives us the hope to be ready for his return at just any moment, because the parousia, second coming of the Lord, could be at just any second. So, and he gives us the Holy Spirit in your heart and in mine as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So it's like God saying, here, I'm going to give you my Spirit here, and no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you're saying Jesus is Lord today and you believe that he died on the cross and rose again, you're only saying that by faith, and the faith that God has given you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, that's God's deposit that there is something more to come. You know there is. I've had enough experiences in life. I'm not going to talk to you about out-of-body experiences, just life experiences, and so have you, that as you look back, you know that there is a God. You know that somebody's out there watching over you and guiding your life through his holy word.
You touched on this a little bit earlier when you talked about communion, but this preparation, and Paul's talking about preparation for the life that is to come. I've heard it said that worship is practice for eternity.
Well, you know, in a sense it is, because what are you going to be doing in eternity? I don't know exactly how that's all going to pan out, but you're going to have the presence of God right there, and I guess your whole existence there will be one of worship all the time in some way. We don't know exactly what shape that's going to take, but have you noticed? I've noticed this even before I became a pastor. Just even as a teenager, coming in, and I sang in the youth choir. Mm. I don't know, does your church have a youth choir?
No.
No, okay, I was just wondering. And singing in the youth choir, even as a teenager coming in, I sense that. You sense, even as a child, there's something special about coming into worship. There's something unique, something wonderful about you. You feel like you're in the very presence of God. And as an acolyte, I was trained as an acolyte, and that helped to get me into ministry, actually. I got pretty excited about being an acolyte. I never stepped up on the altar without bowing, just out of respect, because, you know, I know there's no Ark of the Covenant right now or anything like that, but, I mean, you know, we're celebrating the very presence of God in his word and sacraments. So something special about being in church and worship.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Our very good friend, Pastor Mark Hawkinson from Moments of Assurance, joining us this morning for the Bible study. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. The break is a great time to call in And when we come back from the break, Pastor Hawkinson, let's talk about this guarantee of verse 5.
Okay.
And what that does when people have doubts.
Will do.
We'll be right back. Stick around, folks.
The KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839 is our chance to hear back from you.
I was just calling to let you know that how much I enjoy the music between 12 and 1.
You listen to us, and we want to hear back from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839.
I can always hear something nice on KFUO. And I know you are true to the Bible.
Call the KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839. Your comments, questions, and opinions are important to us.
I just want to tell you guys, I listen every night. Keep up the good work.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs and be part of them on the air, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand programs or podcasts. The KFUO comment line, 314-505-7839.
Good morning and welcome back. It's the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Didn't have any doubts we'd be back, I hope.
I wouldn't think so.
No, because that was what we left at the break was, what do you do with doubt? Because here in verse 5, it talks about Paul is saying that we have a guarantee. And that guarantee is the Spirit. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, looking right now at verse number 5. And I said, well, if we have a guarantee, then what do we do with doubts?
Place them in the guarantee, and they disappear.
Really?
Yes. They disappear in the guarantee.
That works all the time. Does it work every time?
Does anything work every time on this side of eternity?
Are you guaranteeing the guarantee?
I'm guaranteeing that everything doesn't always work every time on this side of eternity, that's for sure. But I can also guarantee that God is true to His Word. He's God. He's perfect and holy. And the Scriptures do say, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. It doesn't say we may have or could have or should have or might have. It just says simply declarative statement, we have peace with God. Well, if you have that peace with God, then what difference does it make when He comes? He could come when you're 30 or 40 or 50 or you could die when you're 90 and the Lord takes you. Nothing's going to take that peace away. Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So doubts disappear in the precious Word of God. Without the Word of God, doubts grow.
So God gives the Spirit. The Spirit is the Comforter. The Spirit indwells us.
Yes.
And this indwelling Spirit is our guarantee.
It's a deposit.
A deposit.
The deposit that God has given, guaranteeing what is to come. It's just like, you know, any deposit that you make to for something that you've purchased tells the person you're buying it from that, look, you're good for it.
Now,
you're good for it.
How do I know? And I think this may be a question a lot of people ask, and generally not you know, to read or to hear, but how do I know that I actually have the Spirit within me? How do I know?
Well, one way, of course, no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. So if you're honestly believing and trusting, at, not just intellectually in your head, but in your heart, that you know Jesus died for my personal sins, not just for sins of the world, but for my personal sins, and you really believe that and acknowledge it and accept it, then you've only been able to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's your guarantee right there.
Because as you were speaking earlier about, some people thinking that they have to earn this salvation, that it's a gift that's given, but then there has to be some reciprocal gesture on our part to show our merit, our worth for receiving this gift. You know, if I have the Spirit within me, why am I still such a poor, miserable sinner? You think I could produce some better fruit?
Similar used to set peccator. You've heard that simultaneously saying a sinner. I mean, there's no getting out of it on this side of eternity. The question is, who's in control right now? Who has the upper hand? And do you recognize the Lord as having the upper hand? And the gospel message of Jesus Christ has the power to place that recognizing in full view.
So if could my conscience being unsettled be a sign that, that the Spirit is within me, that
Absolutely.
I understand
yes.
that things are not right and they should be?
Yeah, if that weren't the case, I'd be worried about you. But see, since but I'm not worried about you, and I'm not worried about me, because I have the same struggles in my conscience. I do. I have the same struggles with sin and with, you can't improve the old Adam. You've heard that. I know.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't.
He tried, didn't work out too well, did it?
You can't change. The new man in you is the new man in you, the old man Adam. What you can recognize is the fact that through your baptism and by the power of the gospel, the old Adam can be drowned more and more every day, and the new man come forth more and more, so that you're letting that light shine in a greater measure. And there's no question about that. That's part of the growth and sanctification that every Christian can and indeed experience.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Linda, good morning. You're up with Pastor Hawkinson.
Good morning, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning, Linda. How are you this morning?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm assuming the weather in Farmington is equally as beautiful as it is here in Clayton, Missouri.
That's it right. Certainly is.
Yeah.
It's beautiful here. Well, we're talking about, you were saying for in the first half hour that Jesus could come at any moment.
That's right, yeah.
He could come at any moment for me, for you.
That's right.
Individually. And, you know, it was really in my heart. We were studying 2 Peter chapter 3. And when you really consider, you know, why is he waiting? Why is he waiting? Because when he comes, there's not going to be any more chances.
That's right, yeah.
And there's not going to be any more chances for those in this world, because it's going to be burned up. And the Christians wouldn't be here in the first place to witness to them. And he didn't appoint angels to witness to them. He appointed us. And so if we are left here even lingering, you know, with an illness or something, you know, he's left us. Why has he left us here? He's left us here for that same reason. We have one more soul to witness to. And, you know, it says, you know, he would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge. Do you realize how great his love is for us, is why he's waiting? And
right.
And he's not willing for anyone to perish. And we shouldn't be willing for anyone to perish. And we should, you know, understand that legacy that we have, that we can share. Not only that I have the earnest of the Spirit, but I can share that with everyone we meet, because he had died for everyone, and every soul. No one can get to the bottom of his love, and no sin is so deep that his love cannot reach it. So, you know, I just felt so impacted by that this week, so I wanted to share that.
Well, thank you. And you know, the verse that comes to mind there, Linda, is that from the Apostle Paul, is that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his entreaty through us. And, you know, you don't know how much time you have. The St. Paul said, brethren, the time is short. That was 2,000 years ago.
It makes life exciting. You know, I saw this man. I don't want to take up too much time. But there was this man. I mean, he impacted me. He was on the news last week, and they were just recognizing his life. The whole town loved him. And he had died. But he had died with ALS, which is a terrible disease and crippling. But, you know, when they interviewed him right before his death, he could hardly talk. But he said, did I understand you right? That he said, I am blessed by a lingering death. I am blessed. Because he had time. He had time to realize, you know, time is short. And he had time to realize how much people loved him. And he had time. We've got time while we're here. There's chances for people out there. There's chances.
Absolutely. And a very, very good point, Linda. Make the most, the Bible says, make the most of every opportunity that is given to you. So very, thank you.
Okay. God bless you.
Thanks so much.
Linda. Good to hear from you this morning.
Yeah, take care.
Verse number 6. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. for we walk by faith, not by sight. And I'm this word courage today is kind of a misunderstanding. What is courage? Is it, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Conan the Barbarian, you know, sword in hand, flinging himself into the onslaught? Is that courage?
You can be a meek person and still be a courageous person. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, the definition of a meek person, strength under control. Strength under control. The sense of that we are always of good courage is cheerful. There's an element of cheerfulness there because we know what's coming. And we're anticipating it greatly. And so God gives us, we pray for it. We don't automatically have it, but we ask the Lord that He would increase the amount of courage that we have, because, you know that song, maybe I mentioned it from the 1990s, I get knocked down, but I get back up again.
And, you know, you brought that up last time.
I brought that up, that's why. As soon as I said it, I said, you know what, I brought that up last time. Forget that. All right, you know, the point is you can continue to continue. You can get back up again no matter what. That's the point.
You know, when it, what I have is my little, I don't know if they call it, if you look at the size of this thing, they surely cannot call this the pocket edition of the Treasury. It
depends on how big your pocket is.
Well, yeah, some of those hip-hop guys wear those big pants with big pockets. But the reading, the Old Testament reading for today from Treasury of Daily Prayer, which comes from Concordia Publishing, it's a little devotional book. It's something you can consume very quickly in about 10 minutes with some readings and some writings from Scripture and also from the Reformation. 1 Kings, chapter 2, David on his deathbed commends this to Solomon. And I was wondering if this is the picture of strength. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies.
Yeah, I think that's a very nice description of it. Yeah, the fact that you keep those testimonies close to your heart. And God is the one who helps you to do that from day to day by that spirit that He's already given you as a deposit of what is to come. So, yeah, that's a good description.
Walking, you know, having the courage to walk in faith, which that text continues to talk about.
It takes spiritual guts. Spiritual guts, if you excuse the guttural word there. But in order to continue.
So could I take the word courage out and put the word confidence in?
I think so. You know, it may not be an exact replica, but certainly I think it conveys the sense pretty well. Sure. Absolutely.
Is Paul up to this? You know, again, all this repetition about temporary suffering, life is short. You know, we are at home in the body. We're away from the Lord. We long to be with the Lord. As
he's trying to encourage the Corinthians here with the contrast.
But is he preparing them for what's to come? And is that part of your job as a pastor?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And pastors need to talk about heaven, and more than they do, perhaps. I apply that to myself as well, because after all, it could become a reality very quickly. I mean, very, very quickly, this thing could become, what's real could manifest itself momentarily in the next 5 seconds even. So, you know, that's pretty exciting, you know, and it does put your life in perspective as a servant of God. You are a servant of the Lord, and as a servant of the Lord, me too, when you see an opportunity, grab it. Don't say there's going to be a better time later on. There may not be.
Let's go back to the phones. David, good morning. You're on with Pastor Hawkinson. Go ahead.
Hi. I got a comment on a comment and question. What Linda was saying about trying to, you know, maybe reach some people. Needless to say, you guys have probably dealt with mockers and scoffers, and like Noah did when Noah was building the ark for 120 years, I believe, and they probably mocked him and his family.
Yes, right,
mocked
right.
God, and it's like even God's patience runs out eventually. And it's like sometimes, and the reason I'm asking is if I have a bad attitude, because there's times that I look at the mockers, atheists, and scoffers, and I wonder if Noah had the same kind of attitude like sometimes I do when that rain started to fall, and they were all perishing out there. Did he maybe in his mind said, "Now you got yours," you know, and some kind of after all those years of mocking and scoffing, and I wonder if I have that, if Noah thought that, and I said that in my own heart, like, the Lord comes back and now you got yours, you know. There's something in us sometimes that has that vengeful spirit. And I'll get off the phone and just listen to your comment, if you please.
All right, David, thank you.
All right, thank you. I think he's referring partially to justice, that, well, justice has been done. And I guess in every person there is this little voice that says, yes, I see, finally, justice has been done in particular situations, and yet there's a real element of sadness. And I think in the case of Noah, I'm not sure that he said that. I think maybe he just felt, you know, oh, I wish, I only wish, kind of like Jesus weeping for Jerusalem when he said, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not. And basically that's what happened at the time of Noah. They would not listen. So to me, there's a real element of sad. Noah was sad about that, and that they were perishing. But I know where the caller is coming from, and we all have an element of that in ourselves as well.
Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
That's
right. I shall repay.
That's right. And so
that's not our privilege.
It's not.
But our sinful nature says,
that's
got
right.
yours, didn't you, buddy?
Yeah, gotcha. And that mm-hmm. is the sinful nature talking there. Absolutely the sinful nature.
See, now I got one more thing I got to put on my list for Sunday morning.
What's this? You have a list for Sunday morning? Okay.
I don't know. Corporate confession is nice, but sometimes you want to just say, well, okay, 1A, 1B.
Yeah, make a list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, check it twice.
Yeah. If anybody kept a list, who could stand?
Yeah, nobody could. Yeah. And I couldn't come to the end of the list. Nobody could come to the end of their own list, that's for sure.
Let's go back to the phones, talk with Rick. Rick, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. Pastor Hawkins, enjoy your programming on the station for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Roland, you kind of opened up a rabbit trail with that 2 Samuel and King David's deathbed, and talking about vengeance. There's some verses there that talk about, okay, Solomon, while this guy here, I told him while I was alive, I wasn't going to do anything to him, but I'm leaving. You take care of it. It sounds like a Godfather thing, you know. It's been a while since I've been in those verses, but I remember reading something like that, and I'm thinking, how can you do something like this? Because like you said earlier, Roland, how do we know that we have this pledge of this spirit? Because I cheated, and I read the end of chapter 6, where we have this spirit of reconciliation. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking of Romans 8:29, that I'm to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I pray that, okay, Lord, at the end of the day, I want to be more like you. But at the end of the day, or the next morning, I'm saying, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it.
Yes.
I sure didn't display it there with the guy at the gas station.
Yeah. But, you know, others do see it, though. See, but that's the thing. You don't always recognize it. It's just like in Matthew 25 at the judgment, those that, you know, were on the right side, those that were the sheep, they didn't even know they were doing those good works. You know what I'm saying? So I'll bet you that others do see it in you.
Thank you. All right. You guys have a good day.
You too.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then, you know, also in those commendations to Solomon, you see a lot of very practical information about how to run a kingdom.
Helps, yeah,
you
because
know, is,
it doesn't come naturally, does it?
No,
I mean, it doesn't come automatically. And Solomon was a good king. He was. And
let's finish
a
up.
Very wise king.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and finish up our text. Our time is drawing close to an end here. Picking up at verse 8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. That is the text for today. See, this is, again, such, you know, we gloss over these verses, but this is the problem today when you look at the church broadly. This idea of what does it take to please God, to please Christ? Is it, you know, giving everything up and living in a cave somewhere in the Syrian desert? Is it, you know, becoming pious beyond all recognition? Is it, you know, giving everything that I own over to the poor? I mean, how do I please God? Do we just cancel church on Sunday and send everybody out to feed the poor? That's how we'll love God.
Well, you know, the Bible says, Roland, without faith it is impossible to please God. So we please Him by trusting in Him every day in difficult situations, in all sorts of you know, experiences that happen in life. We keep trusting Him. That pleases Him greatly. You know, it says so that each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body. Well, judgment, you know, that's the public judgment. You've already been judged. And Roland is Roland. And Roland is going to show by, and Roland's a great guy, but I mean, Roland is going to show by his, you won't hear me say that again, so savor the moment there, buddy.
It's recorded for all eternity
yeah,
now.
So you better savor that moment, because it's not going to be repeated.
No, someday I may call you as a witness.
That's all right. But, you know, it'll be shown on Judgment Day. Roland had faith in Jesus Christ, and here's the demonstration of it with the works, the fruits. There's no connection between your works and being saved, but here's the demonstration of who you are. And I personally, you know, have a little bit of a problem if you're going to concentrate all the time on pleasing God. Does this please God? Does this please all the time? What you should concentrate on is what pleased God to do for you, and that is to give up His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and in place of you, and then He rose from the dead. So that you would, too. When you focus in on that, your life becomes a thanksgiving back to Him. We love Him because He first loved us. But now, you don't want to get into a legalism kind of thing where I better do this to please God or I might not be accepted on Judgment Day, this kind of thing. You know.
I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones, and then want to ask you a question before we let you go for the day, Pastor Hawkinson. Lois, good morning. You're on with Pastor Hawkinson. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
You know, Rick was talking about not seeing the evidence of Jesus Christ living in him. Well, I don't know Rick, and I've never seen him, but I've heard him on KFUO many times, and I hear Jesus Christ in his voice.
You bet.
And I just, he's got a very tender, sweet spirit, and sometimes I can almost hear him crying on the other end of the phone. And, you know, and there's also something in the Bible that says that God's spirit testifies to our spirit that we belong to him. So that's that sure and certain hope that we have that all that Christ has done, he did for us. Thank you so much.
That's a neat thought, Lois. Thank you. Yeah, God's spirit testifies to our own spirit that we belong to him. So, hey, you know, there's no question about your identity today in Jesus Christ. It's a package deal. I mean, you are who you are. Oh, we're out of time?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that actually says 3 minutes.
I thought it was meant 3 seconds.
No, that was three minutes.
3 seconds. Okay. All right. Well, that's
good. If it
good.
Was three
that's
seconds, right. I wouldn't even be looking at you. I'd be looking at the
okay.
clock so I could hit
All
my
right.
peg here.
All right.
All right. Here is the question, because, again, this idea about pleasing God, pleasing Christ, the position of this statement, verse 9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, is followed by verse 10, which talks about judgment. So is it we make it our aim to please him, or is we make it our aim to appease him?
No, not appease. No,
because
I mean,
if judgment's
already
coming, I better placate this
God. No. He's already been appeased through Christ. See, he is appeased. And he's pleased with his own son's sacrifice, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof of the pudding that he indeed is pleased, you know. So
then why do so many silly Christians wander around out there thinking they have to make God happy to offset his anger?
Well, they're misinformed. That's all I can say, because that isn't what the Scripture says. All of God's anger was vented on his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, on Good Friday. That's history. And that's no mystery. that's just as clear as the bell. And you can tell anybody else you want to that that's the truth, because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So naturally, when you are in Christ, you do want to please him. In other words, Paul wanted to get across to the Corinthians, don't live for yourself. Don't live for you. That's the point. Because if you just live for you, ultimately you could lose your faith. You could lose, you could start thinking that, hey, I'm a pretty good person, you know, I don't do all these terrible things, so then you get into work righteousness and all of that.
No,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
there was a danger in
so
Paul.
This judgment in verse 10 is a judgment of what we've done or a judgment of what we've believed?
It is a judgment that makes everything known. Manifest is the word. It manifests everybody's works to show they either had faith or they didn't. Judgment already takes place at the point of death. You don't get another chance after death. There is no other chance. So this is simply saying, look, here are the evidences right here. Those that did not have faith, this is what they did. And it's obvious. You know, they did the terrible things that they did. Those that had faith, even though they were sinners and didn't do everything right and did some sin, of course, nevertheless, they had a lot of fruits of righteousness, and that shows the fruits of faith. And so God is shown to be a just God. The previous judgment, the judgment that happens at death, is in secret. This is a public judgment. This is the results of, you know, showing forth what everyone has always, or what everyone did and said, and it's all going to be made known. But it won't be unhappy for the Christian. You can look forward to it.
Absolutely. Pastor Mark Hawkins
doesn't sound like it, does it?
It does. Eyes of faith, ears of faith.
There you go.
A heart of faith.
Not to be dreaded. Definitely not to be dreaded.
A couple of quick things. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, heard daily here right after Ask the Pastor at Noon with Moments of Assurance, and also the weekend edition of that. And call Joni if you'd like him to come and have a KFUO weekend.
Please do.
Thank you, my friend.
Love to come. Thank you.
We'll be back with Ask the Pastor in a moment.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.